We're turning to the book of Judges for our reading once again, Judges chapter 6, and I want to read from the first verse in this chapter, Judges chapter 6. We can pick up just from the last statement of chapter 5. So the land had rest for 40 years. And then we begin in chapter 6. Then the children of Israel did evil in the sight of the Lord. So the Lord delivered them into the hand of Midian for 7 years. And the hand of Midian prevailed against Israel. Because of the Midianites, the children of Israel made for themselves the dens, the caves, and the strongholds which are in the mountains. So it was, whenever Israel had sown, Midianites would come up, also Amalekites, and the people of the east would come up against them. And they would encamp against them and destroy the produce of the earth as far as Gaza, and leave no substance for Israel, neither sheep nor ox nor donkey. For they would come up with their livestock and their tents, coming in as numerous as locusts. Both they and their camels were without number, and they would enter the land to destroy it. So Israel was greatly impoverished because of the Midianites, and the children of Israel cried out to the Lord. And it came to pass, when the children of Israel cried out to the Lord because of the Midianites, that the Lord sent a prophet to the children of Israel, who said to them, "Thus saith the Lord God of Israel, I brought you up from Egypt and brought you out of the house of bondage, and I delivered you from the hand of the Egyptians and out of the hand of all who oppressed you, and drove them out before you, and gave you their land. Also I said to you, I am the Lord your God. Do not fear the gods of the Amorites in whose land you dwell, but you have not obeyed my voice." Now the angel of the Lord came and sat under the terebinth tree, which was in Ophrah, which belonged to Joash, the Abiezrite, while his son Gideon threshed wheat in the winepress in order to hide it from the Midianites. And the angel of the Lord appeared to him and said to him, "The Lord be with you, you mighty man of valor." Gideon said to him, "O my Lord, if the Lord is with us, why then has all this happened to us? And where are all his miracles which our fathers told us about, saying, 'Did not the Lord bring us up from Egypt?' But now the Lord has forsaken us and delivered us into the hand of the Midianites." Then the Lord turned to him and said, "Go in this might of yours, and you shall save Israel from the hand of the Midianites. Have I not sent you?" So he said to him, "O my Lord, how can I save Israel? Indeed, my clan is the weakest in Manasseh, and I am the least in my father's house." And the Lord said to him, "Surely I will be with you, and you shall defeat the Midianites as one man." Then he said to him, "If now I have found favor in your sight, then show me a sign that it is you who talk with me." And then we have the whole account of the fire on the rock. And we want just to go down to verse 22 for a moment. Now Gideon perceived that he was an angel of the Lord. So Gideon said, "Alas, O Lord God, for I have seen the angel of the Lord face to face." Then the Lord said to him, "Peace be with you, do not fear, you shall not die." So Gideon built an altar there to the Lord and called it, "The Lord is Peace." To this day, it is still in Ophrah of the Abiezrites. Now it came to pass the same night that the Lord said to him, "Take your father's young bull, the second bull of 7 years old, and tear down the altar of Baal that your father has, and cut down the wooden image that's beside it, and build an altar to the Lord your God on top of this rock in the proper arrangement and take the second bull and offer a burnt sacrifice with the wood of the image which you shall cut down." So Gideon took 10 men from among his servants and did as the Lord had said to him. Because he feared his father's household and the men of the city too much to do it by day, he did it by night. And when the men of the city rose early in the morning, there was the altar of Baal torn down, and the wooden image that was beside it was cut down, and the second bull was being offered on the altar which had been built. We're turning to the book of Judges for our reading. Once again, Judges chapter 6, and I want to read from the first verse in this chapter, Judges chapter 6. We can pick up just from the last statement of chapter 5. So the land had rest for 40 years, and then we begin in chapter 6. "Then the children of Israel did evil in the sight of the Lord. So the Lord delivered them into the hand of Midian for 7 years. And the hand of Midian prevailed against Israel. Because of the Midianites, the children of Israel made for themselves the dens, the caves, and the strongholds which are in the mountains. So it was, whenever Israel had sown, Midianites would come up. Also Amalekites and the people of the east would come up against them, and they would encamp against them and destroy the produce of the earth as far as Gaza, and leave no substance for Israel, neither sheep nor ox nor donkey. For they would come up with their livestock and their tents, coming in as numerous as locusts. Both they and their camels were without number, and they would enter the land to destroy it. So Israel was greatly impoverished because of the Midianites, and the children of Israel cried out to the Lord. And it came to pass, when the children of Israel cried out to the Lord because of the Midianites, that the Lord sent a prophet to the children of Israel, who said to them, 'Thus saith the Lord God of Israel, I brought you up from Egypt and brought you out of the house of bondage, and I delivered you from the hand of the Egyptians and out of the hand of all who oppressed you, and drove them out before you and gave you their land. Also I said to you, I am the Lord your God. Do not fear the gods of the Amorites in whose land you dwell, but you have not obeyed my voice.' Now the angel of the Lord came and sat under the terebinth tree, which was in Ophrah, which belonged to Joash, the Abiezrite, while his son Gideon threshed wheat in the winepress in order to hide it from the Midianites. And the angel of the Lord appeared to him and said to him, 'The Lord be with you, you mighty man of valor.' Gideon said to him, 'O my Lord, if the Lord is with us, why then has all this happened to us? And where are all his miracles which our fathers told us about, saying, Did not the Lord bring us up from Egypt? But now the Lord has forsaken us and delivered us into the hand of the Midianites.' Then the Lord turned to him and said, 'Go in this might of yours, and you shall save Israel from the hand of the Midianites. Have I not sent you?' So he said to him, 'O my Lord, how can I save Israel? Indeed, my clan is the weakest in Manasseh, and I am the least in my father's house.' And the Lord said to him, 'Surely I will be with you, and you shall defeat the Midianites as one man.' Then he said to him, 'If now I have found favor in your sight, then show me a sign that it is you who talk with me.'" And then we have the whole account of the fire on the rock. And we want just to go down to verse 22 for a moment. "Now Gideon perceived that he was an angel of the Lord. So Gideon said, 'Alas, O Lord God, for I have seen the angel of the Lord face to face.' Then the Lord said to him, "Peace be with you, do not fear, you shall not die." So Gideon built an altar there to the Lord and called it, "The Lord is Peace." To this day, it is still in Ophrah of the Abiezrites. Now it came to pass the same night that the Lord said to him, "Take your father's young bull, the second bull of 7 years old, and tear down the altar of Baal that your father has, and cut down the wooden image that's beside it, and build an altar to the Lord your God on top of this rock in the proper arrangement, and take the second bull and offer a burnt sacrifice with the wood of the image which you shall cut down." So Gideon took 10 men from among his servants and did as the Lord had said to him. And because he feared his father's household and the men of the city too much to do it by day, he did it by night. And when the men of the city rose early in the morning, there was the altar of Baal torn down, and the wooden image that was beside it was cut down, and the second bull was being offered on the altar which had been built. We'll close our reading there. We thank you for your attention to God's word, and we ask him to indeed take it and bless it to us this morning for his own name's sake. The book of Judges, it's a book which covers between 200 to 300 years after the children of Israel had been settled in the land of Canaan. It's called Judges mainly because of the various deliverers who were raised up when the people departed from God, when they went back to idolatry. Then they came under the bondage of various nations. And God raised up at times deliverers to bring them out of their bondage when they cried to him, when they came to repentance and cried to him. He raised up deliverers. And we've been reading about one of them here this morning, about Gideon. In the first part of the book, there's the king of Mesopotamia, and the deliverer in those days was Othniel in chapter 3. Then you've got the king of Moab, Elgong, and the deliverer was Elhud at that time. Jabin, king of Canaan, you've got Deborah and Barak. And here now with the Midianites, we've got Gideon. And so the book goes on, and you remember some of the others, I'm sure. Jephthah, and of course, Samson is also here in this book. Men who became judges, who ruled over Israel until their death, and then Israel returned, sadly, to idolatry. This is a tremendous chapter here, Judges chapter 6. I'd like you to think, almost as a basis for what I'm going to say, what we read of in verse 14 when the Lord speaks to Gideon, "Go in this might of yours, and you shall save Israel from the hand of the Midianites. Have I not sent you?" And perhaps this morning we need all of us to be open to the voice of God, because there's a ministry that needs to be done in these days of great darkness and difficulty. It needs to be done in every local church. People have to be available to serve God even in the local church, in the ministry of that church. But in the wider ministry, even in our whole world, and locally here in Ireland itself, north and south, perhaps we need to be challenged again with the words of the Lord, "Go in the might, in this might of yours, and you shall save Israel from the hand of the Midianites. Have I not sent you?" So let's think for a few moments this morning about this great chapter, this incident. We can see that, first of all, at this time, an oppressor was sent. As far as the children of Israel was concerned, an oppressor was sent. In verse 1 of chapter 6, "The children of Israel did evil in the sight of the Lord. So the Lord delivered them into the hand of Midian for 7 years. in spite of three previous experiences of servitude, of oppression, they departed from God. They became idol worshippers. And what happened was that the hand of Midian prevailed against them, and they became in a situation again where they were servants, a situation of bondage and of oppression. The Midianites were really nomads, and they came with their great massive herd of camels, and that meant that long distance raids were possible. A wandering, warlike people. And because of the oppression, they would allow the Israelites to plant and to cultivate the harvest. But when the harvest time came, they appeared. And they came over the land with the Amalekites and with other people from the east, almost like a herd of locusts, and devoured everything. And they left no sustenance for Israel at all, as it says in verse 4, neither sheep nor ox nor donkey. It was a tremendous time of difficulty, dark days of difficulty for the people of Israel. Matthew Henry, in his one volume commentary, has pointed out that God had promised to increase Israel as the sand of the seashore. But their sin stopped their growth and diminished them, so that their enemies overcame them. They were overcome by a people that they had formerly subdued. If you were to go back to the time of the wilderness wanderings, they overcame the Midianites in Numbers 31, but now they themselves are overcome again by a people over whom they formerly were victorious. And this was because of their idolatry. How we need to be challenged and ought to be challenged by this whole story here. Perhaps we have not been able to progress in our Christian life because of other things that we have allowed to master us. Perhaps we don't worship idols today in the sense of idols of wood or stone, but today in our world, in our society, there's so many different things which people worship. The worship of money, position, possessions, even leisure, power. People are overcome by so many things. And perhaps we need to ask ourselves, are we allowing something to master us and to hinder our progress with God, even as individuals? I speak to my own heart and as a church, as fellowships here in this part of our province. God here allowed the Midianites to come. The Midianites were sent. But then, as well as that, these people cry to the Lord. That's the important point here. In verse 6, the children of Israel cried out to the Lord at this time. So then, God not only sent the Midianites, he sent a prophet. He didn't send them a savior right away, a deliverer right away. Gideon was going to come later, but first of all, he sent a prophet. And we read about this. In verse 8, the Lord sent a prophet to the children of Israel, who said to them, and what he sent him to tell them was that the reason why they were experiencing bondage and oppression at that present time, he was sent to show them what the problem was. And of course, if you read those verses which follow, you'll see very clearly that the problem was their own disobedience. The prophet reminds them of how the Lord brought them out of Egypt and out of the house of bondage and gave them the land of Canaan. And in verse 10, he goes on to say, I said unto you, I am the Lord your God. Do not fear the gods of the Amorites in whose land you dwell. Then we have a but. The buts of the Bible are very important. But you have not obeyed my voice. Here was the problem. The problem was disobedience. Disobedience. And in many ways, that's the spirit of the age in which we live. There's no question about that. If we think about Paul writing to two younger colleagues in his ministry team, you remember in 1 Timothy and 2 Timothy and then in Titus, but especially in 2 Timothy, we read these words here. If I just can read them to you. In chapter 3, where he talks about the last days and the characteristics of the last days. Perilous times will come, he says. Men will be lovers of themselves. It's important to note that the list here of the sad characteristics, the sad description of the last days begins with a reference to men being lovers of themselves, lovers of self. And then it also ends with the same emphasis in verse 4, lovers of pleasure rather than lovers of God. And in other words, we live in an age where there is self-interest and not submission to God. And in one sense, it's almost a parallel to what we're reading about here. You have not obeyed my voice. And so often in this age, the spirit of the age is that I'll do what I want to do. There's no submission to the Lord or the mind of the Lord or to please the Lord. It's my own interests and my own desires. And men are today are lovers of themselves rather than lovers of God. And God sent a prophet to make clear to the people what the problem had been. An oppressor was sent, a prophet was sent, but then an angel was sent. We're told in verse 11, the angel of the Lord came, and he came to the winepress where Gideon was threshing wheat. Those few ears of corn in the wine press, doing it quietly, lest the Midianites would hear and would come to seize the harvest. He was doing it quietly. And then the angel came and spoke to him. I love that verse, verse 12. The angel of the Lord appeared to him and said, "The Lord is with you, you mighty man of valor." Think about that. Imagine describing Gideon as a mighty man of valor. The Lord always sees more than what a man is. He sees what he can make a person, what that person can become. And that's how the Lord was speaking about Gideon here, the angel of the Lord who came. He saw what Gideon could become. Perhaps as we think about our own service for God, all of us, our ministry for God, whatever it is, we need to realize it's what you can become that matters, what God can do with you, what God can make of you that matters. That's the challenge which came to Gideon. Not what he was as a man, but what God could see in him, what God could do with him, what God could make of him. Oh, the challenge of that to us all this morning. What God can make of us if we will let him. God sent an angel. And then, finally, God sent a deliverer. An oppressor was sent. A prophet was sent. An angel was sent. But a deliverer was sent. And that deliverer was Gideon. In verse 14, the Lord speaks to Gideon, and here's what he says. The Lord said to him, "Go in this might of yours, for you will yet save Israel from the hand of the Midianites. Have I not sent you?" You can see that he was commissioned, first of all. He was to go. He was to go in this might of yours. Imagine how he must have felt when he heard those words. Because he goes on to protest here, really, in one way, doesn't he? He goes on to speak about the tribe of Manasseh, which was a very small tribe in Israel, first of all. How can I save Israel, he says in verse 15. My clan is the weakest in Manasseh. The smallest tribe. And his clan was, you could say, the weakest, the smallest, the weakest, even in the tribe of Manasseh. And he was the least in his father's house. The least. In verse 15, my clan is the weakest in Manasseh. I am the least in my father's house. But what was going to make the difference is mentioned in verse 16. Surely, the Lord says, I will be with you. That's the most important point. You may feel inadequate this morning to serve God in this fellowship. Maybe there's an opportunity, a service that you could indeed engage in here, and you feel so inadequate. But everybody is inadequate in ourselves. We have no strength in ourselves. But we have God. This is what Gideon was told here. Surely I will be with you. That's what would make the difference. And it's so important to remember that with God, all things are possible. He was commissioned. Gideon was not only commissioned, but Gideon was to cut down the idols that were in his father's house. We read about that in verse 25. The Lord spoke to him that night, take your father's young bull, the second bull of 7 years old. 7 years they had been in bondage, and this bull was for those 7 years. Offer it. Tear down the altar of Baal your father has and cut down the wooden image that's beside it. He was commissioned, but he also was to cut down the idols. Start at home. God said to him, cut down the altar of Baal and erect the altar of God. Is not that the challenge that comes to us this morning? If we're going to be used of God, wherever he has placed us, maybe in the church, maybe where you work, but if we're going to be used of God, we've got to cut down the altar of Baal. Whatever it is in our lives that is seeking to master us and divert us from serving God as we ought, we cut down the altar of Baal and erect the altar of God. Let him have his way in our lives. He was commissioned. He was to cut down, start with himself and with his family. And then he was to be clothed. Finally, he was to be clothed. People were not pleased when the altar of Baal was cut down, and they wanted his father to bring him out and put him to death, but he says, let Baal deal with this himself. If he's a god at all, he'll be able to respond himself. And we're told then that the Midianites and the Amalekites gathered together in the valley of Jezreel. But in verse 34, this is the verse I want to finish with. But the Spirit of the Lord came upon Gideon. He was commissioned. He was to cut down. But then he was clothed with the power of the Spirit of God. And friends, for any form of service, we need to be clothed, filled with the power of the Holy Spirit. That's where we've got to start. I've been preaching in Castlereagh, where I'm part-time pastor, as well as been principal, of course. Been preaching on the Holy Spirit. And when you go home, just go through your Bible and look at all the great men of God that we have read about, and even the Sunday school days. People like Joseph and David and Daniel, Samson, Peter, Stephen, Philip, Paul, John, the book of the Revelation, every one of them, what they accomplished was simply accomplished because of the power of the Spirit of God. If you go to Joseph, for example, in Genesis 41, Pharaoh says, "Can we find a man in whom the Spirit of God is?" Joseph was the man. You remember Samson, the Spirit of God came upon him at times. Do you remember Daniel? Where in Daniel 5, the king's mother could speak about Daniel as being the one in whom was the Spirit of the holy gods. Come to the New Testament. Peter, filled with the Spirit of God. Paul, filled with the Spirit of God. Come to the book of the Revelation. John in chapter 1 reminds us, "I was in the Spirit on the Lord's day." Oh, friends, it's so important. We too can be commissioned by God, just as he commissioned Gideon. We too have got to cut down the altar of Baal in our lives, if such an altar exists, and erect the altar of God. And we too need to be clothed with the power of the Spirit of God. It wasn't what Gideon was at the start. It was what God could make of him. How God could take him up. How God could use him. How significant then is the text with which we began. "Go in this might of yours, and you will save Israel from the hand of the Midianites. Have I not sent you?" Perhaps God is sending us. He may be sending someone to IBC as well, to the Irish Baptist College, so that we can help you. Even can it be in our evening classes or in our courses during the day, to help you to be more effective, to know the power of God's Spirit enabling you and filling you from day to day. May the Lord bless his word to us for his own name's sake. We turn to the hymn number 793. "Oh, for a closer walk with God, a calm and heavenly frame, a light to shine upon the road that leads me to the Lamb." And we'll begin our singing of this hymn at verse 2, number 793 in Christian hymns, beginning at verse 2 then.